Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Penn State story continues with talks of some members of the Board of Trustees appealing the NCAA sanctions against the school in response to the Jerry Sandusky sexual molestation case. There's been a lot of talk about Sandusky, the ones implicated in the cover-up, the Free Report, the atmosphere that allowed the molestation to continue, but there's been very little talk about the homosexual connection. What is it when a male molests another male? When an older man molests a young boy? It is a case of homosexual molestation. But have you heard that connection made in the mainstream media? No. And has there been a strange silence from the homosexual community? Yes. My guest today is Dr. Michael Brown. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's the host of nationally syndicated radio talk show Line of Fire and is the author of a host of books. We will be talking about one of those books later in the program. Thanks, Dr. Brown, for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Diane. Thank you.
And recently, you were featured in a WorldNet Daily article, Sandusky Case, Silence of the Gays, Vocal Homosexual Activists Absent from Assault Dialogue. You and I both are on the same page because we have talked about the homosexual connection from the beginning, and there's been no mention of it anywhere else that I've seen, except among, you know, some pro-family, you know, organizations. How did you make the connection? What kind of research did you do to find out that there's really no mention among the homosexual activists of this case?
Well, it's an interesting thing, and it's a difficult subject, because I've talked to many homosexual men over the years and interacted, and everyone I've ever talked to is repulsed by the idea of pedophilia or pederasty and says it's wrong and it's abusive. So on that level, we all have the same reaction, but there's another side to the story. And percentage-wise, not overall numbers, but percentage-wise, men abusing men as opposed to men abusing women, talking about men abusing boys as opposed to men abusing girls, it's about 20, 30, 40 times as high for homosexual pedophilia in terms of a percentage. And the more disturbing thing is that when gay activists argue for the normalization of homosexuality and say, look, it's been in every culture and so on, the problem, of course, is that when you point back to the ancient Greek world, you had a lot of so-called man-boy love. When you look at some of the famous icons of art and music that homosexual activists will point back to and say, see, this one was gay, that one was gay. Many of them, from what we understand, if they were gay, they were pederasts.
I'm going to interrupt you right quick. Explain that word.
A pederast, in distinction from a pedophile, pederast would be someone who is attracted to, can be boys or a little bit older boys, pubescent boys, so say 13, 14-year-olds, 12-year-olds, whereas a pedophile could be attracted to 2-year-olds or 4-year-olds. Overall, the terms overlap.
Okay.
So you could refer to someone being a pedophile. You could refer to someone being a pederast. In the case of Jerry Sandusky, the overlap was clearly there, mm-hmm. and his attraction went on with boys in their teens. The fact that he was a married man doesn't mitigate things. He could have always had same-sex attraction and been married, or he could have had this intense sexual attraction for boys. That would be homosexual pedophilia or pederasty. But, you know, in California...
So it's a matter of the age. It's a matter of the age of the victim, then?
Yes.
To differentiate between... Okay.
Yes. So if you take someone like Harvey Milk, who was the San Francisco politician who was openly gay and then was killed, he wasn't killed because he was gay, that was political conflict.
No, but they made a movie about that. I thought
they
sure
made a movie about him. He's a gay icon.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
There is Harvey Milk Day celebrations in California. It's on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Schools will celebrate it. It's just a well-known phenomenon there. Even Harvey Milk Weeks in certain parts of the country to remember him and talk about the oppression and suppression of the gay community. Well, the problem is he had his first sexual encounters. When he was about 11 years old, he would go to the opera with his parents, and these gay men started having relations with him. By the time he's 13, 14, he's in a full-fledged, active homosexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
When he himself is like 33 or something like that, he's with a man half his age, but that's ignored.
Right.
So what I wonder about, and it's just a question, why wasn't there a greater condemnation of Jerry Sandusky's acts in the homosexual community? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I believe they were repulsed as well, but could it be that there's this dark underside, that there's too much of this in homosexual history,
mm-hmm.
and even in the classes where they want to introduce this to students and celebrate homosexual history. Well, if you're going to point to a man like Oscar Wilde and say, look, he suffered in England because he was gay and he was a great writer and we should celebrate him, well, we also know he liked doing things that Jerry Sandusky did in terms of being with young teens.
And
we celebrate that.
Yeah, here in Pennsylvania, over in Philly, we have Equality Forum, which Malcolm Lason has taken charge of October, which is, of course, Gay History Month. And just recently, just earlier this week, actually, he came out with his new list of the 31 gay icons. He has one for each day of October. And he, like you're saying, he conveniently leaves out the darker side of many of these individuals that he has pointed out as gay icons. Also, I find it interesting that I talk about him picking on the dead guys because he accuses Abraham Lincoln of being homosexual and, you know, people who cannot defend themselves when there's no history of them being homosexual. But I found it very interesting that Malcolm Lason chooses to, as you're saying, ignore the darker side of some of these gay icons, because I'm almost positive Oscar Wilde was one of those icons just a few years ago for the Gay History Month.
There's a quote that I have in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. And it was in doing research for this book that I really had to reckon with a lot of this history and a lot of the parallel arguments that pedophiles and pederasts use. I'm not comparing the acts, but the arguments. I was struck by this and struck by how prominent this was in the older gay activist literature, and even how in the early days, NAMBLA, North American Boy Love Association, mm-hmm. sorry, I need to get those words out, they marched in some of the parades. Harry Hay, who is perhaps the gay icon pioneer in America, when NAMBLA was banned from a gay pride march, Harry Hay marched and said, NAMBLA marches with me. You had men like Allen Ginsberg, who were famous in terms of gay icons and the sexual revolution of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a member of NAMBLA. Now, again, none of them would support raping a child, but many of them said that you can have wonderful relations with men and boys and young men. And Larry Kramer, another famous gay activist of this day, an AIDS activist, an author and a playwright, Larry Kramer is on record as saying that many gay men had their first sexual encounters when they were boys and young men, and it was very positive in their experience. So these quotes exist, and what I'm simply saying to the homosexual community is repudiate them.
Yeah.
If we all agree that these things are abominable, again, I don't know a gay man that would say I applaud Jerry Sandusky and what he did, then repudiate it
right. And
get this junk out of the history. If there's a suspicion that one of your gay icons was a pederast, be it Harvey Milk or be it Oscar Wilde, or if Harvey Milk had his first experience with pederasts, then get this stuff out of your literature and quit celebrating these people and say, oh, okay, if we celebrate, then we open the door to something even uglier. Prove it.
Right.
And that's why, again, I wonder about the gay silence. Look, I'm heterosexual, and any day of the week, I would condemn openly, immediately, any type of act, whether it's a female heterosexual school teacher having sexual relations with one of her students,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a man with a girl or a man with a boy. None of that would matter. It's all ugly, repulsive, and reprehensible.
Yeah.
So it's that silence that concerns me and, again, makes me wonder, is there something more that's going on?
Right. Yeah, it does make you wonder. And I know that you mentioned in this WorldNet Daily article, it's dated August 5th, you mentioned Washington Blade article. Of course, that's a homosexual newspaper out of Washington, D.C., but that the columnists called the Sandusky case a heartbreaking tragedy. He wrote, quote, this scandal isn't about gay men. It's about greed and a culture that prized money over doing the right thing, unquote. Which the Penn State issue is very much, as the Free Report exposed to the world, it was very much about the Penn State atmosphere that was created under the leadership of Graham Spanier, the former president. But again, there's the definite connection that homosexual activists are refusing to make between Sandusky and his young teen victims, that there is definitely the homosexual connection. And
yeah, I wrote an article for townhall.com last year called What Could Cost Rush Limbaugh His Career? And I happened to be looking at the transcript of one of the broadcasts when the Sandusky situation was brought up, and he said, look, there's a situation here, I can't talk about it. I could end my career if I talked about it. No one could talk about it.
Wow.
And I said, what's he talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What's he talking about? Well, the fact that the sexual acts were homosexual in nature, yeah. and that perhaps there would have been a different storyline if Sandusky had abused a girl. I mean, could you imagine if someone came in the shower and saw him raping a girl mm-hmm. and then reported that to the leadership? Could you imagine, no matter what it would do to the reputation, that wouldn't immediately have been followed up with? Somehow this wasn't. Well, I wrote that article, and some people said, you're crazy, that's not the issue, Rush Limbaugh will talk about anything. Yeah. And a few days later, someone called me and said, hey, a caller called in, raised the very issue, suggested the same thing you did, mm-hmm. and Rush said, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
You don't dare bring this part up because the ramifications are too intense. The pushback against you and the advertisers and the others who are not happy with this. So these are realities.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look at what he went through by calling that young lady, what he called her a slut. And the one in Washington, you know, the ramifications of that, the law sponsors of the show. So Rush knew what would happen if he went that direction with homosexual activists who were even more vocal and more in your face about attacking anyone who even insinuates that there's a connection between homosexuality and sexual assault. And you're saying percentage-wise, men molesting boys is between 20 and 40% higher.
20 to 40 times higher.
Okay,
other words, overall numbers, there are, I don't know how many more numbers, or 20 to 40%, but overall numbers, abusers, of course, they're far more heterosexual.
Mm-hmm, right,
they're,
numbers-wise, yeah.
Yeah, there are 30 times as many heterosexuals mm-hmm. as there are homosexuals.
Exactly.
But for whatever reason, be it part of the culture, be it the fact that there's easier access, a man has easier access mm-hmm. to boys, and therefore he can abuse more before he's caught or recognized, how would Jerry Sandusky have gotten to the girls? Because
yeah.
he had a foundation helping
mm-hmm.
young girls.
Yeah.
So again, I want to say once more, every homosexual man I've ever talked to repudiates pedophilia,
right.
repudiates pederasty, mm-hmm. repudiates the abuse of it, the conspicuous absence and the Sandusky-type cases, and the fact that whenever you mention homosexual pedophilia, they completely reject it. There is no such thing. Pedophilia is a separate issue. To me, there's an aspect of denial there.
Yeah.
And when you have that, obviously you can't look at the truth, and you can't confront it, and you can't do anything constructive and helpful with it.
Absolutely. And you mentioned your book a little bit ago, and I have a copy here in front of me, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Did you have any difficulty getting this published?
Total difficulty. It was my
yeah.
20th book. We farmed it out to top publishers. We worked with a top literary agent, and we even potentially were going to work with the publicity company publishers do to help get word out about the book. No one wanted to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
No one told me it wasn't well written. No one told me it wasn't well researched. No one told me it wasn't written with compassion. One conservative publisher told me that it would be too costly for him to publish it. He said it's going to be an important read. I look forward to getting the book myself, but I don't dare publish it. He's a conservative publisher. He said he would lose other authors. Bookstores would boycott his other books. That would be the result. That's what he would have to deal with in going this far. So it was quite enlightening. And finally, we were so committed to get it out. We had it vetted by a top Christian attorney. We had it vetted by people in family ministries. Philosophers read different chapters. So it was carefully vetted and edited. We formed our own publishing house called Equal Time Books, and we put the book out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back cover, rather than have endorsements, I have all of the rejections. The back cover says the book the publishers were afraid to touch. Again, gay activists will say, oh, no one would touch this book because it was too lousy. No, that proves the thesis of my book, that these topics are too hot to touch.
Right.
And there's a whole chapter in the book called Big Brother is Watching, and he really is gay. And it outlines the real, genuine attack on freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion because of gay activism. We all saw what just happened with Chick-fil-A.
Exactly.
The owner supports marriage and donates to pro-family organizations, people calling for boycotts, aggressive attacks, calling it hate chicken, blood money,
mm-hmm.
all this horrific stuff, whereas the CEO of Starbucks and other major companies and heads of Microsoft and Apple and you name it, they donate
exactly.
massive amounts of money
exactly.
to pro-gay organizations, and they're celebrated for it.
Absolutely. In that very same week, the CEO of Amazon donated, I think, $2.5 million to the effort in Washington State to stop the amendment that is being voted on, the referendum that's being voted on in November. So that was never mentioned. He was not blasted for doing that.
No, that's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Free country, of
mm-hmm.
course he can do that. And if someone says, I'm not going to deal with Amazon, in fact, Amazon sells A Queer Thing Happened to America. So I'm glad at least that they're willing to put these materials
yeah.
out there. But if someone says, I'm not going to Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to do business with Amazon. Whatever. Let every side boycott the other side.
Yeah.
Who cares about that? But when you get vilified that you can't even hold these views, and when you have the mayors of Boston and Chicago and D.C. and San Francisco saying you're not coming into my city because you hold these views, that's when you realize that those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet.
Absolutely.
And they're straight allies. Yeah. Now look at this as a civil rights issue, and therefore we are the new KKK. We are the Nazis.
Yeah.
Just what we warned about in the book. That's why we had to self-publish. And every American needs to read A Queer Thing Happened to America and recognize this is where we've come so far. Where we're heading is disastrous. I just wrote an article called Here Come the Polygamists, as the polygamists now are going to court in different locations and using the exact same arguments that gay activists have used in the courts to say, hey, why don't we have the, quote, right to marry.
We're being treated like
the person we love, why not the persons we love? So it's time for us to really wake up. Organizations like yours that have been on the front line of family issues for years, people need to get behind and recognize these are crucial issues, and if we're going to be true Christians, we have to address these with love and compassion, recognizing we're accountable to God and to our kids and our grandkids.
Well, absolutely, and I agree that the polygamists and even the atheists now I've seen are using the same argument as homosexuals, that they're being treated like second-class citizens and that they need their civil rights. It's crazy the way that those arguments are being used. But back to Chick-fil-A, you mentioned a few minutes ago. This week, there was grand opening of a Chick-fil-A in Prince George's, Maryland. And of course, that's a heavily Democratic area of the country. But one of the local Democratic elected officials is attending that grand opening. Not that she agrees with Dan Cathy or Chick-fil-A's philosophy on marriage, but because Chick-fil-A is hiring 100 people in her county. And she sees that as a great economic advance for her county so she can overlook the differences they have on the marriage issue and look at the economic impact of that Chick-fil-A opening in her county. So I thought, well, that's good that she's doing that. Philadelphia Wax Museum on July 26th put something up on their Facebook page, We Support Chick-fil-A. And they have been blasted on their Facebook page by homosexuals saying, well, how can you do that, blah, blah, blah. But again, he just simply put that out on their Facebook page saying, We support Chick-fil-A. And it's been good to see him respond to the negative post on his Facebook page saying he's a Christian, he supports Chick-fil-A, he supports the biblical definition of marriage. But the Chick-fil-A situation is a prime example. And what the publishers put you through, they recognized, as Rush Limbaugh did, that this issue could be detrimental to them. But as you're saying, those who've come out of the closet are trying to put us in the closet.
In point of fact, sadly, many pastors are moving away from this issue, even addressing the issue of homosexual practice itself or people with unwanted same-sex attraction. Some just don't know how to address it. Some don't want to seem political, and they want to reach out with compassion to individuals. I understand that, but when we have the heart and soul of a nation, the foundations of family life under attack, we need to address things as pastors, as leaders, not to get political, not to endorse Democrat or Republican, but to stand for righteousness. And then more importantly, to educate and equip our flocks. Sadly, there are some pastors and leaders or radio hosts or people in media or authors who won't address these things because it's too costly. And we have to start with take up the cross, follow Jesus, deny ourselves, regardless of cost or consequence. Then from there, as real disciples, we can make an impact for the Lord.
Absolutely, and we have to do that. And increasingly, we see too much silence from the church, as you said, who are not willing to even address sin, period, let alone the sin of homosexuality. An example is that pastor down in Florida where they were renting a school facility and he preached on the sin of homosexuality and the school threatened to throw him out to no longer allow them to rent the facility. And it was a letter from Liberty Council that stopped that whole situation. So again, churches are like you're saying, are afraid, but we have to stand up for what scripture says in a compassionate way. And otherwise, we are just allowing those who are caught up in the sin of homosexuality to continue down that path without telling them the truth and giving them the hope of Jesus Christ. And it's tragic that too many churches have chosen to remain silent on the issue. I mean, it's a moral
issue.
When
people will say to me, you're one of the few voices speaking out, of course there are a number of voices, but it's all too few. And then, of course, there are some who speak out, but they speak out harshly.
Yeah.
They speak out without love and compassion. They bash and attack. You know, when Rush Limbaugh, who we're not looking to as a Christian leader, when he made the slut comment, well, that was an unfortunate comment.
Right,
you know,
right.
Moment,
he acknowledges that, right.
Yeah, of course, and he apologized.
Right.
And he had the manhood to do that, to his credit. The problem is you have one misstatement there. And then you have the, on another front, then you'll have the fanatical God hates fags Westboro mm-hmm. Baptist people. Mm-hmm. So that's us. The moment that we say we support Chick-fil-A, that's us. We're
right,
Westboro
they equate
Baptist.
Us, exactly. And that's so far-fetched, but that's exactly what they do. They make statements. You know, we show support for Chief Operating Officer Dan Cathy of Chick-fil-A. And just to support traditional one-man, one-woman marriage, we are equated with Fred Phelps. It just boggles my mind, but they have so much support in the media and in Hollywood, the homosexual activists do, that they can get away with making that connection. Which that connection that doesn't exist. So it's really tragic that that happens, but we have to fight the media on this, and that's why your book is so important. You said your book is available on, I love the cover of your book, by the way.
Oh, thanks. We surveyed a lot of folks, and that was the one.
I was there at the DC group meeting.
Oh, yeah, that would get my attention.
Right,
so it was meant in a lighthearted way.
Right.
A Queer Thing Happened to America. They can order it online, Amazon.com or ChristianBook.com, or from our website, AskDrBrown.org. That's AskDrBrown.org. They can also find out about our daily radio show there, too.
And that's nationwide, right?
Nationwide, yes, it is.
Okay, fantastic. So it's AskDrBrown.org. .org.
That's it.
Okay, you can order the book through there or through Amazon.
Yep, and do it. They probably won't find it in their local bookstore, though.
Probably not. But that's great. And people can contact you through the website also?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. I appreciate your time and the articles you've written and the books you've written, and I do encourage folks to get a hold of this book. It's a good-sized book. It's over
just under 700 pages.
Well,
and that's
a lot of it's, kept, yeah, a lot of it's notes,
We kept the 1,500 endnotes in small type.
Yes, I see. 1,500 endnotes. People cannot say that's not well documented, that's for sure.
And most of the quotes come from the activists themselves, so that they have a hard time saying that they're not accurate on that score.
Yeah, that's true. And that's we have to use their words against them because it truly exposes their agenda. Again, appreciate your time and take care and have a good trip to India.
Great, thanks. God bless. Diane.
Okay, God bless you. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.